Welcome to Torati Mecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Professor Smadar Rosenzweig, and today we will be studying Shmuel Aleph, Perek Tet Zayin, Chapter 16. Let's recap Perek Tet Vav, Chapter 15. Shaul was commanded by God to destroy Amalek, but Shaul does not follow the directive completely. He attacks. He kills women and children, men, but seizes the valuable spoils and takes King Agav captive against the divine directive. When Shmuel confronts him with this reality, Shaul does not confess his mistake, but instead blames the choices made on the nation. Shmuel explains to Shaul that this is a terrible breach in following God's command, in being king. Consequently, Shaul will lose the kingship because he brought the korban too early, the sacrifice too early, and he does not destroy Amalek. Shaul is so distraught and desperate, he admits he sinned because he feared the people, but he begs Shmuel to come and pray to Hashem with him. Ripping Shmuel's coat, finally, Shmuel slays Agag, the king of Amalek, and Shmuel mourns the failed kingship of Shaul. It is difficult to see your protege fail, and the symbolism of the ripped coat speaks volumes. Shaul will lose the kingship. Our Perek begins a new chapter in the history of Bnei Israel. A new king will be anointed. It will be David. A great day for Am Yisrael, but very bittersweet for Shmuel. He is mourning because of Shaul's failure and the failure of his protege, the anointed one, the one that Shmuel anointed first. Yet Hashem does not want too much time to pass before the next king is chosen. And this choice will be initiated by Hashem. And he will be described as Hashem's choice. In Pasuk Aleph, in verse 1, we read, Vayomar Hashem al Shmuel, Ad matay ata mitabel al Shaul, Vani me'astiv mimloch al Yisrael, Malek karnach Hashemen, Velech eshlachacha, Elishai beit halachmi, Ki ra'iti bebanav li melech. And Hashem says to Shmuel, how long will you grieve over Shaul? I rejected him as king. Fill your horn with oil, set out, and I'm sending you to Yishai from Beit Lechem, for I have decided that one of his sons will be king. But Shmuel does not want to go. He fears that Shaul will kill him if he hears that he's anointing someone else. And maybe he's reluctant to go as well. He's upset that Shaul will not continue to be king. So Hashem responds, take an eglat bakar, a young heifer, and say you came to sacrifice. Call Yishai to the sacrifice, and I will tell you what to do. Umashachta li, anoint for me the one that I shall tell you. This is a very different scenario than when Shaul was anointed. There, Hashem apprises Shmuel the identity of the new king in advance. Here, several of the sons will present themselves to Shmuel, and he does not know which one is the chosen one. He is not clued in. When he sees Eliav, who is tall and handsome, he feels he should be king. But Hashem reprimands him. In this anointing, Shmuel comes with a horn of oil, a keren shemen. Radak explains that the horn of oil was in the Ohel Moed, the tent of the meeting, with the other utensils used for anointing. So Shmuel already knows that whoever he's going to anoint will be king for a long time because he's being anointed with a horn of oil, not a cruse of oil like Shaul was anointed. And yet Shmuel doesn't know who it will be. So he sees Eliav and Hashem says, don't look at him that he's tall and good looking because I despise him. Man only sees eye to eye and sees the exterior. But Hashem sees the heart. So Hashem is reprimanding Shmuel for not really realizing who should be king. He thinks, oh, like Shaul, the next king must be tall. So the next sons are called as well, Yishai, Avinadav, and Hashem keeps on saying, they're not the chosen ones. And finally, all of his sons passed before Shmuel. Shmuel thinks a king should be tall and handsome like Shaul. Seven sons are introduced to Shmuel, and each one is rejected by Hashem. So Shmuel asks, Hatamu hana'arim? Are there any more boys? The psukim accent Shaul being in the dark. Shmuel being in the dark and not seeing who should really be king. Rashi quotes the famous Midrash. Because Shmuel proudly said, I am the seer, Anochi haro'eh, when Shaul came to find Shmuel and ask about the lost donkeys, Shmuel is being humbled because he said, I am the seer. But Shmuel was really just using the accepted phrase of the time. And yet Hashem is very strict with great people by a hair's breadth. Kechut ha-se'ara. So Shmuel, not knowing who should be anointed, is told, yeah, there's a smallest boy who's a shepherd. She'er hakaton v'hinei ro'e batzon. And they bring him. Vayishlach vayivieu v'hu admonim yifei inayim v'tov ro'i. So they sent and they brought him. And he is ruddy, or redhead. He's bright-eyed and handsome. Admoni im yifei inayim v'tov ro'i. And Hashem says, Kum shacheu kizehu. He's the one to anoint. And Shmuel takes the Keren Shemen, the horn of oil, and he anoints David among his brothers, Bekerev Echav. Vatitzlach ruach Hashem al David ma'ayom mahu v'mala v'yakom Shmuel v'yelech haramata. And the spirit of Hashem grips David from that day on. And then Shmuel sets out for the Ramah. And the minute David is anointed, ruach Hashem sara me'im Shaul, Ubiatatu ruach ra'a me'im Hashem. From that moment on, the spirit of Hashem leaves Shaul, and an evil spirit begins to terrify him. When Shmuel observes that this new young lad, right, who's coming in, is ruddy, very red, bright-eyed and handsome, he is worried because there are two images here. On the one hand, David is katon, small, a ruetzon, a shepherd, who is good looking. But on the other hand, we have images of ruddiness, of red. Yaakov on the one hand and Esav on the other. The Midrash Shmuel conveys this conflict in a very stark manner. When Shmuel saw David, he was puzzled. How could one described as Admoni like Esav, red like Esav, be the next king of Israel? And Hashem responds that he has good eyes, yifei naim, good insights and outlook. He will be a warrior, but only with the approval of the Sanhedrin, of the great court. Malbim depicts this as the dialectical tension between the two sides warring in David. His just, rational side and his warrior side, his militant side, his military side. So we are going to examine this tension throughout the entire Sefer Shmuel Aleph. And how does this tension between the Admoni, the red, the Esav side of David, and the Yaakov side of David? And many times we will describe this as the battle between the sword and the word. David as warrior, and David as the one who really says the word of God. Shmuel does as Hashem commands and anoints David among his brothers. And Hashem is instantly with David. And then Shmuel goes on his way. Shaul was anointed alone. Shaul needed a personal odyssey to attain the persona of a king. And Shmuel was his constant guide. David's gain is Shaul's loss. The minute David is anointed, a ruach ra'ah, a bad spirit, enters Shaul. Radak defines the ruach ra'ah that enters David as a ruach ha-kodesh. So the ruach Hashem that enters David is ruach ha-kodesh, the divine spirit, and it enables David to compose the mizmorim that we have in Tehillim, the songs of Tehillim, of the Psalms. And David receives the ruach ha-kodesh, and the Ruach Givurah, the spirit of a warrior. So Radak explains that the minute David is anointed, he gets this amazing divine spirit. doesn't have to work for it. It comes to him naturally. Very different than our image of Shaul, who had to work for it, who had to go through an odyssey in order to reach the level of kingship and inspiration. So what does the Ruach Ra'ah mean? What is this evil spirit or bad spirit that enters Shaul? The Malbim explains that it's not that Hashem puts in the evil spirit into Shaul. God forbid. Just that there's only one dose of divine spirit that could be with a king. And now that David is anointed, that divine spirit enters David. And when Shaul loses that extra spirit, that extra feeling of Hashem, he realizes that he's missing something and he feels empty, depressed. And he is missing what Malbim calls the Shefa of Hashem, the abundance of Hashem. So the servants suggest, hey, Shaul, if you feel so forlorn and empty, let's bring someone who plays wonderful music and to put you in a better mood. So Shaul says to his servants, okay, see if you can find someone who plays well. And one of the young men says, you know what? Yishai has a son like that. He's Yodea Nagen. He knows how to play music. He's a Gibor Chayil. He is an upstanding citizen. He's an Ish Milchama. He's a warrior. Nevon Davar. He knows so many things and knows how to say them clearly. V'Ish Toar. Very handsome in appearance. The Hashem Imo. And Hashem is with him. The first public acknowledgement of David is that he's a skilled player of the kinnor, of the lyre, who can affect people's moods. And that's so interesting. So our first exposure to David is as a music player, someone who is musical, someone who can change people's moods, not as a warrior. He's also mentioned as someone who's heroic. But the most important thing is his talent for music. And of course, in addition, he's warrior, he's smart, he's handsome, Hashem is with him. Right now, that already should put a question mark in Shaul's head, because these are the qualifications of a king. It's so ironic that David, who will dethrone Shaul, is invited to remove Shaul's bad spirit. It's really David who caused this. But when David comes to Shaul, Vayamod lefanav, Vayehaveu meod, Vayhilo nosek kelim. But when David comes, he has a magnetic personality and Shaul is drawn to him. He loves him. That's a very strong word in Tanakh. And we'll see that everyone loves David when they meet him. Shaul, Yonatan, Michal, all of Bnei Israel. And David, who will become Shaul's biggest rival, is the one who removes, assuages his Ruach Ra'ah, Shaul's feelings of discontent. And right from the very beginning, the Navi is foreshadowing the complicated relationship that Shaul and David will experience. So let's recap. Shmuel is sent to anoint the new king, but Shmuel does not want to go. He fears that Shaul will kill him if he hears. And maybe he's reluctant to go as well. So Hashem says, okay, take a young heifer and say you came to sacrifice. Shaul was rejected. Shmuel has to pick a new king. But Shmuel doesn't know who it's going to be. And the whole experience of anointing David is very different than the whole experience that we saw in anointing Shaul. In addition, once David is anointed, Shaul loses that special divine spirit. And he needs someone to make him happy, content, more even keel. And who do they call? They call David. And when we describe David, David has so many great characteristics. We see that he really has what Shaul does not have in order to be king. The line between love and hate and fear is very thin. And that will become apparent throughout the Sefer in David and Shaul's relationship. When Shaul first meets David, Vayehaveu, he loves him. But their relationship will change very soon once Shaul really realizes that David is the anointed one and David is chosen to replace him. In our next chapter, in our next perek, Goliath will come on the scene, and we will also observe David's heroism and great faith in Hashem, true leadership potential and actualization, meaning what it really means to be a leader, to see that you have those characteristics, and to really bring them into the arena of real life. Thank you for studying together, Le'ilui Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.